Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, The Kingdom Agenda. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out his kingdom agenda for us to embrace and to participate in. He explains what it looks like to identify ourselves with his kingdom agenda and what it looks like to live it out. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Welcome everybody here in the house, as well as those of you who are joining us online. We're excited to be here. We're in our third week of this summer series called The Kingdom Agenda. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're encouraging people to spend some time reading that throughout the summer. And while I'm preaching right now, Brian is preaching over in the Spanish service with the translator. So we're just excited to bring this message to everybody. So, if you receive our weekly news and reminders, you have seen that I'm going on an eight-week sabbatical, starting actually next Sunday through August 18th. And after 38 years of pastoring, I'm blessed to take some extended time off for rest and renewal. And I'm grateful to our elders and to our staff who support this and who will lead Valley Brook while I'm away. While Cynthia and I will do some traveling and spend some time catching up with family, I also hope to catch up on some reading, do some hiking, among other things. And to be honest, I'm excited, but I'm also nervous. I think the excitement is natural. You understand that, you know, you're taking some time off, you always look forward to that. But I think the nervousness comes in, I wrestle with my type A personality, and if I'll be able to deal with some extended time off. So you can pray for me with that. Now, candidly, the reality that I'm going to be away from you and from Valley Brook recently hit me. As I've gone about the past couple of weeks, I've found myself watching you, watching our leaders, watching our staff, watching them lead, watching you serve, watching you worship, watching you lean into being the church, the body of Christ. And honestly, I've gotten a little emotional at times as I've realized how blessed I am, how blessed my family is to be a part of this church, how blessed I am to be your pastor and be a part of what God is doing here at Valley Brook. Now, being a pastor is more than a job. I believe it's a calling, and I've felt that call from a young age, and I still feel that call today. But this reflection time has reminded me that being a pastor is more than a job. It's more than a calling. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be a part of the church. It's a blessing to call you brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a blessing to do life with you. It's a blessing to be invited to serve alongside you as well as serve you. It's a blessing to walk through life with you in the joyous celebrations like we just saw with Rosimber and Kayla and baby Jonathan, and also to go through the difficult times of life with you. It's a blessing to watch you and witness you take new steps of faith, and it's a blessing to be there for you when you've fallen off the path. And it's a blessing to be a part of your lives and to be a part of your journeys. Now, look, I don't want to mislead you and make you think that being a pastor is always easy. There have been difficult times and even painful times that have tested my strength and tested my faith. And while I wouldn't want to go through those experiences again, I feel blessed because I can see that God has walked with me, with us, through those times in life. So, as you can see this morning, you sort of caught me at a reflective moment in my life, and it's a time of reflection where I truly do feel blessed. And those reflections are coming, honestly, at a time where I feel like my life and the scriptures that we're studying are sort of intersecting. And as we go into this series called The Kingdom Agenda, I see the connection there. And you can't help but think about what it means to be blessed when you read the first 12 verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Because in those first 12 verses, Jesus tells us who is blessed. So now, if some random person walked up to you and asked you, who do you think is blessed in this world? Where would your mind go? Maybe you would think, well, you know, the people that are blessed are maybe those billionaires that you see on Forbes' richest list of people. Or maybe your mind might think of that person that you consider has the dream job that you wish you had. Or maybe you might think of someone who has been blessed with a certain kind of family, or someone who has doesn't have to deal with some of the difficulties in life that you do. You may think of a whole host of different ideas of what it means to be blessed. Now, the reality is those are rather individualistic ideas of who is blessed. But as followers of Jesus, we should know who Jesus says is blessed. And you're going to recognize that it's not just individualistic. It's also corporate. And we find out what he says, who is blessed, in the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm going to read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. It's going to be on the screen also. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Dr. Stuart Weber points out that our modern idea of what it means to be blessed is oftentimes a sense of happiness based on our circumstances. Those were sort of what I mentioned earlier, those individualistic ideas of what we think about what it means to be blessed. So we feel happy and blessed if things are going our way, if things are good. But in Jesus' day, the idea of being blessed was this idea that happiness is dependent on the assurance of God's blessing. Whether that blessing was in the present or if it was in the future yet to come. And this understanding of what it means to be blessed was one that was held deeply by followers of God. The 9 statements that begin with the word blessed are often referred to as the Beatitudes. That's a word that basically refers to a state of being blessed. Now, when I study scripture, I actually like to look at multiple translations because I get a better understanding of that. And candidly, my Greek that I learned in seminary is pretty rusty. So it's just, it's great to have the opportunity to look at multiple translations. And when I was studying for this message, one of the things that struck me was a verse in this passage and how it was translated by the New Living Translation. It's the first beatitude. Now, the one we looked at just a moment ago said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." But the New Living Translation said, "Blessed are those who are poor and realize their need for God." You're blessed when you realize your need for God. I think that gives us some important insight into what it means to be blessed in the kingdom of God. We're blessed when we realize we need God. So let me rephrase the Beatitudes. We are blessed when we are poor in spirit because we realize we need God. We are blessed when we mourn because we realize we need God. We are blessed when we're meek and humble because we realize we need God. We're blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, again, because we know we need God. We're blessed when we're merciful because we realize we need God's mercy. We're blessed when we realize that we need to be pure in heart, and we need that, and it comes from God. We are blessed when we're peacemakers because we realize that we need God to help us make peace. And we're blessed when we're persecuted as his followers because we realize that we need God. When we realize that we need God, that realization reorients the way that we live our lives and the way that we see the world around us. Realizing we need God gives us kingdom eyesight. It allows us to see things through the lens of the kingdom of God and to see the world through the way God sees it and to see how blessed we are when we look at things through the eyes and lens of the kingdom of God. So what does it mean to be blessed? If you were here last week, Brian talked about that in a little great detail. I'm going to summarize that, but you know, the Beatitudes don't hold up the worldly standard of wealth, power, and prestige as the markers of a blessed life. Not at all. In fact, what Jesus says it means to be blessed is really upside down according to the culture of the world. We can't look to the government or to the business world or to the world of pop psychology to understand what it means to be blessed. We can't look to those areas or honestly any other worldly point of view because those points of view are not oriented around Jesus' kingdom vision. But the Beatitudes reveal this upside down definition of what a blessed life is. Those nine Beatitudes can be divided into two areas of focus. The first four Beatitudes focus on our relationship with God. I don't know if you ever looked at it that way, but they do. And the last five Beatitudes focus on our relationship with others. So the Beatitudes focus on being in a right relationship with God and being in a right relationship with the rest of the world. And what it means to be blessed is when we recognize that we're in that right relationship vertically and horizontally. It's kingdom focused, not worldly focused. It's centered on Christ and his teaching. It's not centered on us. And so when we center our lives on Jesus and our focus on his kingdom, we will understand how blessed we are. But today I want to wrestle with one question, and this is the question. What do you do when you realize that you are blessed? What do you do when you recognize that God has blessed you? How do you live? Well, first, let me just simplify things. I want to make sure you know that you are blessed. We're blessed when we know we need God. And because we are blessed, we're called to bless other people. Now, if you're wondering what in the world I'm talking about, I'm really talking about something that started with God a long time ago, from ancient times. In the book of Genesis, we are introduced to a couple, Abram and Sarai. They're later called Abraham and Sarah. And this is what we read. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families on the earth will be blessed through you." So if you don't know anything about the story of Abraham and Sarah, they experienced this blessing from God. They were quite old at the time that we catch up with them in the book of Genesis, and they have not been able to conceive. They've not been able to have a child. But God promises to bless them. So understand this then. Abraham and Sarah, in many ways, understand they've been blessed, and God says, "I'm going to make you a great nation." That means to become a great nation, they were going to have a child. And in that culture, most clearly, they would have to have a son. And God blessed them in their old age. Sarah became pregnant, and they had a son. And that was the beginning of the blessing. But to bless them to be a great nation also carried a greater meaning. That meaning is just like Abraham and Sarah know God and have a relationship with God, that those who come after them, their son and the following generations would also believe in God and recognize that they need God and know Him. And that happens. And then God promises to make Abraham and Sarah. Well, here we are, thousands of years later, we're still talking about them. I think that's a good definition of what it means to be famous, right? And then God tells Abraham and Sarah that they will bless other people. And going on, God says that He Himself will bless those who bless them. And the converse, He says, I will curse those who will curse them. But then God says that all of the families of the earth will be blessed through Him. So here's how I would summarize that. God blessed Abraham and Sarah to be a blessing to others. So again, what do you do when you know you are blessed? You bless others. God's purpose in blessing Abraham and Sarah was not so that they could have all that blessing to themselves. It was so that they could share it, that they could bless others. It was so they could and would pay it forward. And Abraham and Sarah did pay it forward. And then those who were blessed by Abraham and Sarah, as we read through Scripture, they paid it forward. And the blessing was passed on from generation to generation as more people were told about God and recognized they need God and believed in Him. And the blessing continues to be carried forward. It's carried forward even to us and hopefully to the generations that come after us. And then we get to the New Testament. Hundreds of years after this took place, Jesus comes and He proclaims the kingdom of God and the blessings that come with this knowledge of the kingdom of God and that we need God. And that's the blessing that started with Abraham and Sarah coming full circle. It came full circle in two ways. First, Abraham and Sarah's son begins the family tree that from one generation to the next generation leads to the King of the kingdom of God, Jesus. Jesus is Abraham and Sarah's heir by 42 generations. That's a lot of great, great, greats, okay? So there is the blessing that comes from them having a child that led directly to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. The second way that this comes full circle is that the promised blessing that started with Abraham and Sarah now comes full circle as Jesus proclaims that the kingdom of God is here. And that's not the end of the blessing, even though it comes full circle. It doesn't end there because Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount that all people who know they need God are blessed. And just like Abraham and Sarah were blessed to be a blessing, so that everyone who recognizes that they need God and they understand that blessing and they need then to pay it forward and bless others. We have been blessed to be a blessing. We've been blessed when we believe in God and that He sent Jesus to bring us salvation and to invite us to be a part of His kingdom. And we're blessed when we realize that as Jesus' followers, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're part of this thing that we call the church, the body of Christ, and it's something bigger than we can fully comprehend. But we're part of the church, part of the kingdom of God. And then we're blessed when we recognize all that God has blessed us with. So if you're questioning how God has blessed you, I want you to think about some things. Think about your life, the time that you've been given in this lifetime. It's a blessing from God to recognize you know Him, to live life with Him, to recognize that you have that blessing and to share it with others. Think about all the talents, passions, and skills that you have. Some are God-given, some you've learned because God gave you the ability to learn them. That's a blessing from God. Think also about the material things that you've been blessed with God. That also is a blessing. All of these things are from God. And like Abraham and Sarah recognized that they were blessed to be a blessing, we have to recognize and own that we have been blessed to be a blessing to others. We're not supposed to hoard those blessings and keep them to ourselves. We're supposed to use them to serve God and to serve the kingdom and to bless others. We're supposed to further his kingdom by blessing others so that they believe and become part of the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be a witness for him as we tell people what he's done in our lives and share with them openly. So the hope that they will understand that they need God and receive the blessing and accept it. Now, I recognize this. I recognize that sometimes we get caught in thinking things like this. Well, you know, I'm not able to do something because I'm not old enough, or I'm not ready enough, or I don't have enough. And we say, you know, when I'm old enough, when I'm ready enough, when I have enough, then I'll share it and bless others. But that kind of thinking prevents us from being a blessing to others. The truth is, you have been blessed because you know you need God and you are ready to bless others. You don't have to take a class and get a degree to bless others. You just have to recognize that God has blessed you and you can bless others. So let me ask the next natural question. Who in your life has God situated you in a relationship with that needs to be blessed and that you can bless? Who can you share with the truth about what Jesus means to you and the fact that you understand that you've been blessed because you need God? Who can you spend time with, maybe just to listen to or to encourage, to be a friend to? We've all been given time to use, not just on ourselves, but to use for kingdom purposes. Think about the talents and the passions and the skills that you have. It's important for us to recognize that those passions, those skills have kingdom potential. You've been blessed with them. How can you use them for the kingdom of God? Have you ever stopped to think that maybe the skills that you've learned for your job, for your employment, that blesses you to earn an income, could be used to bless your neighbors or someone else? I got to have a conversation with somebody this week to help them understand that while they've gone to college and gotten a degree and use what they've learned to earn a living, that there's actually applications to use what they've learned outside of their job. And that was just a cool and experience to be able to invite them to use those skills for kingdom purposes. Who can you bless by sharing with them the blessings that you've been given in this life? Think about it. You and I have been blessed in many ways. Varying amounts. It doesn't matter who has what. We've been blessed. And that blessing is not for us. It's not for our individual kingdoms. It's for the kingdom of God. It's to use so that other people can come to faith and recognize that they need God and be blessed by that. So I want to move into a time of prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And as we move into this prayer, I'm going to start off with some silence because I want to give you the opportunity to ask God a question. God, who do you want me to bless? So I'm going to give you 60 seconds. It's going to seem like a long time. I'm going to give you 60 seconds just to wrestle with that question and to listen to God. So if you would bow your heads, I'm going to open us in that prayer, and then we're just going to go silent for 60 seconds. So, God, as we come to this time, Lord, we want to know from you. We want to hear from you. So give us ears to hear. Lord, tell us who you want us to bless. Lord, we know you speak through the power of your Spirit. So speak to us about that person, those people that you want us to bless. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would feel the strength of your Spirit that would give us boldness to go and talk to that person and bless them, and that you would work in our lives to help us see you working in us, which will even be another blessing. So Lord, you have blessed us to be a blessing. Let us walk in that reality and that truth and never shrink away from it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.